I'd like to welcome each and every one of you out this morning. For our members of Broadview Church of Christ, it's wonderful to see such a great number out. It really encourages me to see that everyone has a smile on their face, is happy to be here, and looking forward to the opportunity we have been given in this place that we have been given by the grace of God to worship Him and to praise Him and to learn more about Him this morning. As our guests this morning, as we have many, thank you so much for being here. That's not just something that we say. I hope that you'll recognize that we're quite a friendly group of Christians here. And don't be surprised if we want to come say hello and shake your hand and get to know you more, because we just want to get to know you and help you in any way that we can. So thank you so much for being here with us this morning. I'll ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. As you may have noticed, the lesson that I've chosen for this morning as well as this evening both correlate together. This morning we will be looking at what we should expect from our elders. The reason I think this is a good idea for us to look at these things this morning is, although we are a growing church, we are one that has been blessed by God in so many ways, and we want to continue to do that. And we all need to understand exactly what God would have us to do as a church, and have us know exactly what the leader's role is. You need to know what the leader's role is, and we need to know what our role is inside the local church. So this morning, we're going to look at what we, as members, as body of Christ, Christians in this church, what should we expect? Many of you might know, well, I know an elder, he's supposed to be a leader, but maybe you haven't studied these things to understand there's a lot that we should expect from our elders, and there's a lot that our elders should expect from us. And this morning, we're going to cover those things today. Titus chapter 1, I'll ask you to read alongside me verses 5 through 9. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. You'll notice in this passage that we read, and as we had in our scripture reading in 1 Timothy, that these are two verses that we can see what elders should be. But I want us to see something further than just qualifications of elders. I want us to see that in verse 5, there was a twofold mission. Paul gave Titus a twofold mission. He wants him to correct anything that's lacking in the church, and he wants him to appoint elders. To appoint elders. See, as we continue to read through Titus, we'll see that the Christians there, well, they had a lot of problems. They had disagreements amongst one another. There was some false teaching that was being brought into the group. There was some that were bringing up things that they should not be carrying over from the old law. There was a lack of Christian virtues, a lack of brotherly kindness to one another. There was a lot of things that were lacking. But the reason they were all lacking was this very point. That church, those churches lacked elders. They lacked elders. When you have elders, they help you to set these things in correction to the Word of God. I'll tell you this morning that a church should never feel comfortable because they don't have elders. They should never be comfortable. Too many churches today, they go so many years without elders and they think, well, we're doing fine without them. We don't need them. That's not the way God tells us. God actually tells us in Titus that when you don't have elders in your church is lacking something. Elders need to be appointed. So many people look at elders as a threat to some kind of power amongst men. That if they don't ever appoint elders, then they'll have the power to have a say-so in a body of Christ. That's not how we should look at that. God tells us to have elders, and we need to have elders in our church. And we are so blessed to have three in this very body. I hope as we continue to grow as Christians and grow in number, that we'll be able to even appoint more that are qualified. That'd be a wonderful thing to do. This morning, though, I want us to look at what we should expect. We should expect a lot, and let's begin to look at those things this morning. First on our notes, what should we expect from our elders? We should expect them to do their work. To do their work. Well, that seems simple enough. So what is their work? Are you sure of everything that an elder is supposed to do? Well, let's look this morning to see the things, the roles of the elder. First, I want us to look at these words. I'll give you a little disclaimer before we go over some of these words, as you might look on the screen and think, what are these words? What do these mean? Well, these are Greek words, and I'm giving you the Greek word and then the English word so that you understand when you read a certain word in your Bible, what it actually means. The first word I want us to look at in definition of roles of their work is presbyteros. This is a Greek word that to us, we understand it to mean elders or presbyters. It's defined as an older man, a senior, an elder. Now, this isn't any slam on the age that the only men that can be elders must be very, very old or anything like that. The emphasis on this, yes, is their age, but more the emphasis is on their experience. That's why God wants them to be as someone who has had some life experience so that they can lead us. Let's look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We'll be flipping quite a lot between Titus and Acts. If you want to keep a thumb or a place marker in your Bibles. I want us to understand when we're looking at what is their work to do, well, we need to understand that there's a lot of things for them to do. And the first thing is, well, that they need to be elders. They need to be men who have some life experience. And we see this in such verses as Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church." That's where we see the word presbyteros called into the English language, elders. Let's also go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read with you verses 1 and 2 to again see this word that we see in our English Bibles as elders. "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." I want to tell you this morning, as we go through a few of these definitions, you might notice that in the religious world today, these all seem like different roles, different offices. Many religious people have their elders in their church, and then they'll have their bishops, and then they'll have their presbyters, and then they'll have pastors and shepherds, and these are all different roles. It's not what the New Testament tells us. The New Testament tells us that each and every one of these is the same role. So why are we looking at all these different names? For this reason. Each name, which is the same office, gives those gentlemen different expectations. And the first expectation we should have from our elders in our church is to have life experience, to be an older man who can watch over us. Let's continue to look at the second one. Number two, what is their work? Well, this Greek word is episkopos, which in our English language is overseers, bishop, defined as an overseer, supervisor, ruler, especially used with the reference to the supervising function exercised by an elder or presbyter of a church or congregation. The emphasis is oversight here. Oversight. What is the role of the elder? First, he's to have experience so he can guide us. And secondly, he should have oversight over every single one of us. We see that in such verses as Acts 20 and 28 and Titus 1, verses 5 and 7. We see that word. We see overseer. We see bishop. Again, those aren't two different roles. They're all the same. An elder, an overseer, a bishop. Same role. First, we see that they're to have experience. Second, we're to see that they have oversight over us. Let's go to number three. What is another role, another function of an elder? Well, it's to be a shepherd or a pastor. The Greek word is poimen. It's defined as a shepherd, a protector, a ruler of a flock of men. Again, we see the word shepherd. We see the word pastor in such verses as Acts 20 and 28, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. Again, similar verses. They're all the same role, but they have different functions as they do. What's their work? To have experience, to have oversight, and to protect. That's what poimen means. Shepherd, pastor. They are to protect the flock. We understand this very easily when we think about it in worldly terms. We know, what is a shepherd? A shepherd protects his flock. He protects the sheep. He protects whatever animal that he's protecting. That's what our shepherds do to us. They need to protect us. And we'll look more in depth at all these things in just a moment. But I just want us to understand and see these through the New Testament. The last one we'll look at is oikonomos. And our English word, that long, funny-sounding word, means steward. Steward. It's defined as a household manager, a steward, a guardian. And that is seen in Titus chapter 1. Verses 5 and 7, a steward. I want us to see these things again for the twofold reason of A, many people in the world call these all different positions. They are not all different positions. They are one position. It is to be our elder. It is to be our overseer. To be our shepherd. To be our steward. The emphasis on steward is trustworthy. We need to make sure that we expect our elders to be trustworthy men that will watch over us. So in speaking of that, I want to say this morning, don't confuse the preacher with the overseer. Don't confuse that. Many people in the world look to the preacher and they say, well, you're the pastor. Because, well, there's a lot of religious people that say that. The New Testament never speaks to that case. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to understand this morning, this is not something that I'm saying because I don't want to do something for you in this group. I'm here to work and I'm loving the opportunity to do it. But I just want to make sure that we understand that as we talk about growth amongst this church, that we don't confuse the two. We don't confuse that the preacher, he is not the pastor. He is not the pastor. It's not his job to do those things. We'll look at that. Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We see the difference there? These are two different things. The evangelist is one who teaches. Then it says some pastors. Pastors are our elders, the ones that have oversight over us, the one who shepherd us, protect us, have experience that can lead us in the way that God would have us to be led. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 16 explains this a little further. It says, 1 Timothy 4:16 gives the role of the evangelist, the preacher, the minister. It says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. This tells me that my role here amongst you is to heed myself to the doctrine. Study the Word. Make sure that everything that I teach you in a Bible study or a lesson or a Bible class or in a sermon is all in truth. It says, continue in them, and for doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. When you see the separation there, that the preacher is different from the elder, from the shepherd, from the pastor. The pastor is the elder, not the other way around. Many today have churches that have pastors, but that isn't right. That's not the way God wants us to be. A pastor is not the evangelist. Can the evangelist also be a shepherd? Sure he can. And that would be okay. But me alone, as long as I'm not qualified, I am not the pastor. And we need to not look at preachers in that light. Many confuse this today, but we need to understand what the Word of God, the New Testament, tells us. And the New Testament tells us what elders are and what their roles are. Now that we've got some of those definitions and some of those technical things out of the way, we need to understand those. We need to understand those things before we can understand more further about what an elder does. So let's move on to point number 2 in our notes this morning. What should we expect from our elders? Well, we should expect them to shepherd the church of God. Again, I'll ask you to go to Acts chapter 20, and verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, therefore, take heed to yourself and to the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. What should we expect from our elders this morning? we should expect them to lead us. To lead us. Shepherding is not feeding. Well, that might sound a little odd, but I want to explain this. Many people think that it is just this shepherd's job, just the elder's job, to feed us the Word of God. Well, yes, they do that, but we need to not confuse the two. Think about it in earthly terms with me again. What does a shepherd do? Does a shepherd force feed the animal? No. The shepherd, the good shepherd, leads them to the green pastures. For us, that would be our shepherds leading us to the truth. But they cannot force us to want to grow as Christians, but they can lead us. And that's what we expect. We expect them to lead us to all truth and all knowledge. But understand, it is our job as Christians to grow. Don't think just we have three elders and that's good enough and, well, we're going to grow now. Well, that's not always the case. It's your job to lead us to the truth. But we have to understand it's our job to take what they give us. Our job to grow in the Scriptures. So as we understand, it is their job to lead us, to shepherd us. Let's look at three ways that they shepherd. The first way that they shepherd is they guide the flock. They guide the flock. Let's look in Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 31 says, "Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." What this verse is saying is Paul is leading by example. He warned them with tears. He asked them, please watch out for false teachers. He's leading by example. We see him leading by example further in verses 33 through 35. 33, it says, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my own necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus." And he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What this is telling us is Paul is leading by example. Same for our elders today. What should we expect from them? We should expect them to shepherd us, to lead us, and to lead by example. To lead by example. Secondly, another way they can shepherd is that they can keep the flock. Keep the flock. Let's read verses 29 through 31. 29 through 31. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch. And remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." They are to keep us. They must keep us safe from false teaching, both inside the body and outside. What should we expect from our elders? We should expect them to lead us to the truth, to keep us. Paul talks about here that there's going to be false teaching amongst brethren, false teaching from inside the body and false teaching from outside. We should expect our elders at any cost to make sure that I am not teaching anything false. You're not teaching anything false in a Bible class, that you're not teaching anyone false statements among each other. We should expect that. We should expect that. I want us to understand that that means being involved in our lives. It means being involved. Shepherds are to be active. They are supposed to see something and act on it. When they see false teaching, they need to step up and cut that off right there. It means they need to be active. And that means they need to be active in our lives. We have a tendency in our culture today that, well, we don't want anybody to know too much about us. We're afraid that if we let too much of ourselves out to someone else, oh, they'll know our dirty little secrets. And they'll know more about us. They'll know more about our families. Don't be that way. Understand that the shepherds are to lead us and to keep us. How can our elders keep us if they don't know us? They have a duty to keep us. So I encourage you this morning, any time when you come in and an elder asks you, "How are you doing today?" Don't just give the, "We're fine," and keep moving. Know that it is their job to keep you. Be honest with them. Tell them if you're struggling. Tell them if you have spiritual or physical needs. Another duty they have in keeping us is to keep us from falling away. So you should expect them to be involved in our lives if there is sin in your life. Don't be surprised if there's something in your life and an elder wants to speak to you. An elder wants to help you. An elder is here not to just tell us you're wrong They're here to help us. If an elder comes to you and wants to help you, spiritually or physically, it's because it's their job to keep us. It's their job to keep us. What's another way that they shepherd us? Well, they protect the flock, as we were just talking about a moment ago. Acts chapter 20 and 29. Titus 1 and 9 speaks to the same things. Let's read Titus 1 and 9 on the board behind us. It says that they are holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. They are to protect the flock. What does that mean, to protect? Well, it means that they have to correct us when need be. If there's sin in our lives, there's sin in the church, that they must correct these things. I'll tell you this morning that if you show me a group of Christians that is beginning to go away from the Word of God, starting to bring worldly influences in, if you show me a group of Christians who is starting to do things not by the New Testament, I will plainly show you a group without elders or with elders who are not keeping, who are not shepherding the way they should. We should expect our elders to keep us in line. Make sure that we are going by sound doctrine, to exhort us and to convict us where we contradict, either personally or together as a church. We need to understand that. We need to understand that the elders have qualifications for a reason. Not just so they can get appointed to this office, but it's so they'll have the knowledge to do these things. The knowledge to correct us. If a man does not have knowledge, proper knowledge of the Scriptures, how in the world is he supposed to help us? That's why there are qualifications. There's qualifications so that they can lead us. That's what we should expect. We should expect to shepherd the flock. Thirdly, this morning, what should we expect from our elders? We should expect them to rule. To rule. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We should expect them to rule. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's read verse 7. It says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." And finally, verse 24 says, "Greet all of those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you." We very plainly see that they are to rule over us. President Harry Truman had a quote that said, "The buck stops here." It's pretty much the same thing for the elders. They are to rule. We need to understand that. They have a role, and it is to rule over us, to keep us, to shepherd us, to lead us. We also need to understand that as long as it is scriptural, we must follow our elders. We must follow our elders, not blindly. The New Testament or me this morning is not saying, do whatever your elders tell you to do, or else. Only if they lead us scripturally. And I encourage us this morning to not use things to throw up in our elders' face as, I don't agree with you on something, so I'm going to take myself and my family with me, and we're leaving. That's not how we're supposed to be. Now, if we feel that there is something unscriptural, sure, we can move. Can we move to another congregation? Absolutely we can. There's nothing in the New Testament that says we have to worship with a certain group, but we need to understand that if you choose to be with a group of Christians, bind yourself to the local work, we must obey their rule as long as it is scriptural. But on the other side of the coin, I want us to understand that elders should not misuse this in any way. We should expect them to rule, but we should not expect them to just say, well, because I said so. Now, unfortunately for me, when I was a young kid, that worked with my parents. And whenever I said, but I don't understand, why can't I go out with my friends? Because I said so. I hated that. Boy, I hated hearing those words, because I said so. Now, that may not work with parents. It's not to work with elders either. It is not a way that we just see them as someone who has a position and they can do whatever they want to. That's not the way to look at it. They are first and foremost to be good leaders who have our spiritual interests at heart.
Furthermore, Hebrews chapter 13, 17 tells us that they are to give an account one day for the way they've led us. So we need to expect them to do it with truth, with honesty. Their work is to rule with the Word of God as their God. We also need to understand that having elders prescribed by God, well, it's the end of democracy. We need to understand that. Because of our culture, our country's government today, we have this feeling inside us that we should always have a say. We have a say in our government. We go and we vote on who's our leaders. We vote on these things. That's not the way that God appointed His church. That's not the way He wanted His church to be ruled. Now, I will say this with a disclaimer. All of you husbands, it would be really foolish of you to not heed the advice and opinions of your wife before you rule your household. Okay? It is your final say as what goes as the New Testament prescribes, and that is true. That doesn't mean you should not listen to your wives. And that does not mean that the elders should not listen to the congregation. It is wise for the elders to get a pulse on the Christians, to see what their needs are, their wants are amongst the group. But understand, when the elders make a decision, and we're not to gripe, we're not to grumble, it is their rule to do so. We need to see it that way. As our role is the saved body of Christ, to uplift their decisions, to pray for them, to encourage them. We need to remember those things. 3 John 9 through 11 tells us a story about a man named Diotrephes. Tells us a story about this man who loves power amongst the Christians. It said in those scriptures? It is said that that man is being sinful. He is not being the way God would have him to be amongst the church. Understand that applies to us. We're not to just want power. We're not to just want to be able to have a say-so, a vote in everything. That is sinful to be that way. We need to understand that. What do we expect from our elders? We expect them to rule us. But rule us by the Word of God. Not rule just because it is their opinion. Just their opinion. Fourth this morning. What else can we expect from our elders? We can expect them to act with patience. With gentleness. Again, I'll make a note here. Well, didn't you say earlier that they are to act immediately when there's sin amongst the flock? Aren't they to act immediately to a Christian who is going away from the gospel? Yes. Yes, they are. And I'm not trying to contradict myself, nor is the New Testament. But the New Testament does show us that elders, with their experience, will lead us in the way that will cut off sin from the flock. But they also know when to lead with patience, with gentleness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 says, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. We need to understand that while they're to act with patience, again, I will say this to us, that does not give us a free pass to remain stagnant. We must work to grow. Christians, it is a wonderful blessing of God that we have this group. We continue to grow spiritually, knowledge of the Lord in our Bible classes. We continue to grow in number from people that, more and more people that want to come to the truth, want to follow God's Word. But our elders are only to lead us to the truth. We expect that from them, but that doesn't mean that we can just give up and say, well, it looks like we're growing in number and it looks like everything's great. We have elders, that's all we need. No. They lead us. They are patient with our growth, but that doesn't mean that we can just take some time off and say, I'll grow more next week, I'll grow more next year. No. That's not what our elders expect from us, and that's not what God expects from us. He expects us to continue to grow in the truth. It's our responsibility to do that. But we can't expect them to be patient as we grow. There's a lot of things that they have experience and knowledge of. Yes, they should act quickly when there is sin in our lives. But it's not that they're going to just rebuke us and tell us how bad we are. We need to expect them to be patient bringing us back in. When there's sin in someone's life, there's a lot of healing that needs to happen. We understand that they're to be patient with us, to bring us back along the Word of God. We need to understand that we expect them to have some patience with us. Again, not that we take time off, but that they're patient in leading us to the truth, and that they do that with a kindness in their heart.
That is what we should expect. Expect them to have patience with us, a gentleness. What should we expect from our elders?
Well, there's a lot we should expect from our elders. But we didn't go over this lesson this morning so that we can point fingers and we can say, "You're not doing something, brother." The reason for this morning is, as we are continuing to grow as a body of Christ, we need to understand that we have expectations of them, and they need to understand that God has expectations of them as well. We need to continue to learn more as we grow. Tonight we're going to talk about the flip side of the coin. We're going to talk about, yes, we do have expectations of our elders, but guess what? It's a two-way street. They expect some things from us, as does God have expectations of us. I invite you to come back tonight and understand and learn what the New Testament, what the Bible tells us our expectations are as a body of Christ. How we should continue to grow and how we should respect and lift up our elders. This morning I tell you that men in the congregation, as we read, there's different roles for each and every one of us. Not every single one of us need to grow up to be elders. We all have our different roles in the kingdom. Some can be preachers, some can be teachers, some can be pastors. But some can just be really good Christians that are really good at talking to friends and family members and encouraging others to come to the knowledge of Christ. But, gentlemen, this morning, whether you're a teenager or younger or you're older, understand that looking at Timothy and Titus and the qualification of elders is something that we all need to strive to be. If you're wanting to know how to be a better man, a better Christian, look at the qualifications of an elder. That's how you can grow as a Christian. That's how you can grow. Understand that the rest of us, we have a job to do in having expectations of our elders. Elders, they have expectations to lead us to the truth. There's a lot of expectations that the church has. If you're not a child of God this morning, I want you to know that God has even an expectation for you. Though you're not a child of Christ yet, know that you've not been saved from your sins, God still has an expectation for you as well. I want you to understand, if you're not a child of God this morning, here's an expectation for you and a truth that you need to understand. If you're thinking about becoming baptized, if you're thinking about being added to the church, becoming a Christian, understand this. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10 tells us, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." You have an expectation to obey the gospel. Believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be forgiven of your sins through baptism. As this verse tells us, we do not know when the day of the Lord will come. If you want to be added to the church, you want to be added as a Christian, why wait? Let us know those needs today and let us help you. If we can help you with any spiritual need, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Won't you come?